Hello, my name is Clay Boykin, and I am in search of the new compassionate male. I believe in the midst of these incredible times of change, a new compassionate male is emerging as the new archetype. And this podcast is intended to give voice to both men and women on the overarching topic of compassion consciousness in men.
Hello, world. It's me, Dennis, and I'm the producer of this particular podcast of In Search of the New Compassionate Male. I'm here with a plethora of guests today and the host, Clay Boykin. Clay, what are we doing here today?
Hi, Dennis. We have with us three people, three wonderful people who have been on our podcast before.
I know.
And there's common ground amongst them. And it was like, well, why don't we bring them all together? So Ann Smith is with us, Pat Farrow, and Howard Teich. And I'd like to welcome all of you.
Hello, everybody. You know, Howard, we were talking with Rick Tarnas the other day, and he was talking about how transformational your concept of the solar and lunar aspects of the masculine and the feminine, and how that what he said about it was that it took it out of having to be in a, oh, I have to bring out my feminine side. It allowed people to break out of that as a construct and allowed them to get into the idea of the solar and lunar and getting into growing the solar masculine and the lunar masculine. I assume it's across the spectrum, however that would work. But it was profound to hear him talk about you and the impact that it's had on his life.
I feel honored that he is understanding, seeing this experientially, and he found me of all the people, and here we are.
Well, and Howard, you mentioned the book. I want to mention the name of the book, Solar Light, Lunar Light, Perspectives in Human Consciousness. I've read the book cover to cover. It's not a hard read. It's about 100 pages. And I have savored every minute of it, every page. So thank you for writing that book.
Pat and Ann, could you all talk about this, about your own journey into this, both in how you're seeing your lunar and solar feminine and how you're growing that in you, how that resonates with you and how that is impacting you as we're going along?
I'm just thinking about the story. I have been involved with the Divine Feminine for a while, and I was writing a book titled Sisters Stewarding the Shift. This was before 2012, or around in that time. And I worked hard, and it was all done, and it was interviews done in this really powerful way. And I discovered when it was completed that I couldn't use it. I had to throw it away. And the reason that I did is that I had recently learned about the solar feminine. And in that, I also was understanding that what we normally talked about with the divine feminine was actually the lunar feminine. And that is all the qualities that have been accepted by the patriarchy.
Sure.
So the lunar feminine, cool with the patriarchy. The solar feminine, an entirely different thing. So I started working with an editor, and she was going to help me. We were going to try to infuse this lunar offering of Sister Stewarding the Shift with an IV of solar, which we were trying to do it. But what we had to do instead was start completely over. And when I did, I had this experience. I wrote it in the book. I don't know if I'm going to look for it, but it was like the solar hit me like a Mack truck in the middle of a blizzard in Michigan. And I started being, the word I want to use is imbued with the energy of the solar feminine.
So getting hit by the Mack truck in the blizzard, in this case, was a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. As any artist will know, right? As any one of us knows, that is a necessary rite of passage in the artistic journey.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Pat.
That's all right. I just thought, but my editor, Charlene Bobo, she was immersed in the same energy too. And she went to Goodwill and bought a pair of combat boots and started wearing them while we were starting over with this new book, which is titled, here I do have it, Sacred Marching Orders, Igniting the Solar Feminine at the Dawn of a New Age. And I do have to say, Marianne Williamson did endorse it, saying women, because she understood it, women owning our power and using it strategically and collaboratively is what our planet desperately needs. Sacred Marching Orders is a call to women to channel our passion into the healing of the world. And you know what? I feel like I want to stop right now because Anne has been living the solar feminine for a lot of years.
This is wonderful. Please, Anne, talk about that. How does that resonate with you?
Well, my work has been since the 70s, actually, in groups and helping women to claim their power and helping women from going from being the, save me, to I will save the world. You know, that sort of collective. And teaching assertiveness training, helping women step into their power. And really, Howard, I wish I would have had your book way back then because I love the language that you are presenting. I love the concepts and it's given me new language. So it's been very hard for women to, because if you step into that courageous solar power, you're called a bitch, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, are aggressive. And what we taught was assertiveness, you know, and assertiveness to me is both the solar and the lunar. Right. And then in the whole thing of, I mean, it took years for me to have women claim power. This is when the church as a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, Anne,
so abused.
Anne, you mentioned the church. Tell us a little bit. What was your role in the church, and which church was it that you're talking about?
Okay, I worked for a long time in the National Episcopal Church and throughout the Anglican Communion. So that's worldwide. Uh-huh. So I would do leadership programs. It could be in Africa, it could be Asia, Latin America, and throughout the United States and parts of Canada. So what we did was a leadership program, a basic program that I said, this is the recipe, you add your own spices from their own culture.
Okay.
They love when they got to do this whole thing of their Bill of Rights. They love being able to say, I have the right to be angry. See, we would do a lot of movement because you got to embody it. You got to feel it for them to overcome. The power was negative.
Mm.
And of course, in many places, if they assert their power individually, they can be badly hurt, ignored, or left behind. So it was always the collective power, and it's safe in numbers. But that whole thing of being able to do it, embody it, to be able to think about it, to role play it. Now, in America, it was very hard to get women to role play anything. In Africa, you can't stop them. And boy, did they love to play the tribal chief, and they loved to be the ones who went to confront the tribal chief to get something.
Fascinating.
It is indeed.
Well, I feel the need to go back to Howard. And for those who aren't familiar with solar lunar, in a quick synopsis, what's the essence of the solar energy, lunar energy, men and women?
Well, it's very simple. It's from nature. It started 4.6 billion years ago, and it is the architecture of nature. And in originally being in deep Jungian analysis, you had to develop your feminine side. And I was in San Francisco at that point and did it more than any straight man I knew, although I'm sure there's others, and it didn't work. And there was no more analysts that I could see. And I went into a panic attack because there were a couple of suicides in my family, my mother and my brother. And I was the one that survived. And I came across the movie, The Kiss of the Spider Woman, Raul Julia and William Hurt. And the two men, one was very effeminate gay man who all he cared about was relationships. And Raul Julia, all he cared about was revolution. And they each died the other one's death. The gay guy died carrying the message to the preliminary, to the revolutionary matches in a chop of the police. And the straight guy died with a romantic fantasy in a rowboat. And I thought, wow, if they would have known that that was another part of them in life, would their destiny have been different? Wow. And Don Saunders, a Jungian analyst, because I didn't know who Spider-Woman was, I remember he had just done a book about the Navajo symbols of healing, major Jungian analysis. Unfortunately, he's no longer alive. And he wrote me back a note and said, Spider-Woman is the mother of twin heroes. And twin heroes, I'd never heard of them. And through a long journey, I realized that the solar part of anybody, goal-directed behavior, logic, rational, the lunar's intuition, emotional integrity, artistic nature, and because it's been labeled female for men, still is. I talk to men all the time, and they're still caught in this, and tragically, that those two human qualities, intuition is feminine for a man, So solar and lunar are nature's guides of energy, quantum energy, as I learned, because it really eventually got me out of seeing why I was stuck and why most men are stuck is because they're living in a binary, black and white mindset, hypnotically brainwashed. And I'd say ironed into their brain, not by brainwashing, but that is what masculinity has been for since, you know, the patriarch for sure, but even longer. No, actually it ended with Romulus killing Remus, the only twins that had not killed the other twins in every single culture I looked into were friends or brothers. They, they had fights, but no one had killed the other until Western culture comes along. And what gets killed is the lunar masculine, and that is then called the feminine for political reasons. So that's still the brainwashing men mostly, unless they come across the four of you and some other people I know. And so that to me, so the solar lunar is just simply logic and emotions.
Okay, so let me make sure I've got this right. So when you're talking about the solar energy is with both in terms of basic gender. There's a woman has solar energy and a man has solar energy. Yep. But now when you and I talked about it, that energy manifests differently within each of them.
I don't say anything about women. I've studied the mythology. Okay. I know it pretty well. And the sun goddess and the moon goddess are there in every mythology period. And they have different service of the evolution of the feminine. They get manifested because that's nature. And when a culture brainwashes men or women into a model of opposites, you don't get the energy of the architecture of the wave and the particle. And as Einstein said, the field is the sole governing agent of the particle. Translated, that the lunar leads, the solar executes, regardless of gender.
Howard, the first time I heard you say that, I knee-jerked.
I watched you. I watched Clay and Clay. This is because we were on a podcast when you said that, and I watched Clay, and it was like cold water was thrown in his face. He did not.
Well, I mean, my Marine Corps days, my first thought, what are you telling me the lunar leads and the solar executes? And a fraction of a second later, I caught myself and I said, Howard, you're damn right. we lead with our heart and we execute with our head.
Except if you're culturally brainwashed the other way around.
Exactly.
And that's...
That was the brainwashing. And one of the things, Howard, that I love about your model, and I want to know from you, Pat, and Ann, if you have your feelings on this, is that this is such an inclusive model, because those of us who identify across the spectrum, like I am very much, I've always identified very closely with women. I'm like a heterosexual man who identifies with women, who identifies just so closely with, have had a hard time identifying with men and the masculinity that we say in the culture and this and that, you know, so I would caucus with the women. I would spend time with them. So, but this model, looking at it from a solar and feminine aspect of it, I can find myself in that model without having to be on the male, just only on the male-female spectrum.
Can I take advantage of what Patrick said about the book that she had to tear up?
Because yes.
The architecture of every culture is a creation story. That starts creation, period. Not only physical creation, but the whole scene. And the fact that I torturously... if I could say it a little sarcastic, you only had to tear up a book and look what you got, because you have to start over. And this is the hardest thing, to get people to surrender their addiction to their ego, to do what you organically did. And Anne has just done this all of her life because she's a nature woman. And of course, it's her choice. Regardless of labors, it doesn't matter to her. You know, I was imbued with brainwashing. But the fact that both of you lived it and didn't know it, and one of you had the label that changed your life like it did mine, which is just starting. That's why I'm here, not because of me, but because of this energy that has radically changed my life. So, you know, it's a creation story. That's the key. And I think your example is so beautiful of what happens. You had the courage, wherever you got this thing from, you had the courage to redo something with that you had in a physical manifestation of a mindset, a worldview, that somehow the energy wouldn't let you not channel it. And so burn, baby, burn. And here you are. And I know the influence you have to have on women and men.
Well, I have a creation story. And then please, I'll go back to you.
Please, okay. Anne, go
and
for
I
it.
I don't know if you've heard this, but it is Sky Woman. And it's created, of course, you know, Turtle Island, but and there's different renditions, but Sky Woman on this planet way up, there was a tree. It's so similar to Adam and Eve in a way. But there was a tree, and you were not to get near the tree or dig in the roots, just like bite the apple, right?
Yeah.
She was curious, so she did, and she fell through. And she fell into the ocean, and the turtle picked her up. Right. And then the otter came and brought the soil, right? And it created Turtle Island. And she lived for many years, many, many, many years. And of course, she, you know, peopled the, and all of this. When she died, and that was, you know, probably like a billion years or whatever, when she died, they cut off her head, buried her body, and threw the head up into the sky, and that's the moon. I love the Science Museum in New York City. That is the Big Bang, and it goes all the way up, and then you're in this like assimilated spaceship. And in one of these, they talked about, you know, the Earth, the Big Bang 4 billion years ago, and then an asteroid hit the Earth. A large asteroid.
Right.
The debris from the asteroid and from the Earth created the moon.
Oh, my God. That is my friend Four Arrows. He is the Indigenous World's 20 books. And we hooked up 20 years ago. My first talk I ever gave, that he walked in, and I was had a slide called "The Union of the Same is a Prerequisite Before You Can Have the Union of Opposites." In other words, if you don't twin this complementarity in your ego mind, then you can't have access to otherness. And he walked in to me afterwards and said, look, I get it. If I don't heal this part of me and become lunar male also, I can't have the woman I'm with. And she is amazing. I've deeply known them. And this is the split of most relationships, is this not healing. The secret message in male alchemy is the union of the sun is a prerequisite. New Agers talk about the sun and the moon, the sacred marriage. They don't see that. They just have the same old split using objects. And it's not old age, it's new age. This is the secret of male alchemy.
Help me, Howard. You use the term union of the sames.
No. You know, sacred marriage. You know, marriage, the archetype of union. You know, if you're born, it doesn't matter your gender, you're told to get married of energies with anotherness. And, you know, I grew up, I was programmed, go to college, get married, have a child. I did that. And I didn't know the woman and had a child, amazing. And we have all our amazing relationships. But, you know, that's the program. I followed the program. I didn't even question why Pat did something, you know, and that. So once I, who came across this, because the lunar is considered homosexual. This is the huge shadow of the masculine. And this is why most straight men who think they're straight or think if they get the lunar, they're queer. And so most men won't go to this because of that unconsciously. Although younger people, they're way past that in their gender. This is not a non-issue. So if you have this solar-lunar union in your conscious mind, you automatically are available for otherness. It doesn't matter, gay, straight, tri. And that otherness is what has becoming holistic, not coming with a fragment of energies that you call the complex.
Okay, nice. So here's what I think I heard. Union of the same equates to integration within me of my soul, integration of myself, my solar and my lunar energies. So that's the union
for man.
Yes, that's for me.
That's the secret of alchemy. And Jung had this wax picture of called Hidden Be Revealed. And I was able to torturously translate that. That was a secret of alchemy. Oh, my God. The alchemists were hated. And that was their secret to themselves. They had hidden. And I came across the Mayan myth where they jump into the fire. And one is born as a sun and one is born as the moon. Oh, my God. The Navajo twins. You know, all of a sudden, the panorama of indigenous cultures, which don't have this prejudice, but have the energy of showing up in nature, which come back to the tragedy of the male contribution to the pandemic psychologically right now, out of the unconscious fear of having the twin males come forth and face the reality of the external world.
I would say these are some new words that I didn't have before. When you were talking about that integration, Howard, I got a strong hit in my solar plexus. And I watched your show. Yeah, I watched the show, you know, where Dennis and Clay interviewed you. And I have your book, Removing These Concepts from Gender Identification is a huge piece. It's a huge piece. As I have dedicated my life to being used throughout my life, most of my life. And moving into that energy more and more without a lot of agenda, which you talked about in the podcast that I listened to, I am led on the most amazing journey.
You got it. Who else?
Yeah.
You're a life force. You don't need words. They get in the way of your manifestation and embodiment as a nuclear woman. You're living what Einstein said, that the energy of the field, because it's the field of energy that comes out of the sun, and every once in a while, by consciousness, one chooses something rather than stay out of the field, because for men, it's queer. No, it's actually what makes you an authentic man, And then you come and pick and choose what to express at the time of emergence in you. That's your power. Mm-hmm. I saw your podcast. Yeah, totally. So you're demonstrating the truth of creation right now.
It is.
All the circling. You're the mistress of circles and master of circles. I discovered through these incredible men who are changing the world in these podcasts. This isn't just a conversation. This is a creation story.
Absolutely. And that's something that I have been chomping at the bit to say. And that is, well, I think maybe to lead into it, I actually started writing a book about the lunar masculine.
Wow.
And I had, you know, I started. And I did not. I went on to other things. But Clay's work is all about inviting in, creating an energetic opening for the lunar masculine. And thank you, God, Goddess.
Oh, yes.
In English, rather than solar lunar, but it accomplishes the metaphor that is a transition phenomena for the energy to come. And that amazing, and it's just amazing that the five of us are here, because in alchemy, the four at the quintessence turns into the fifth. And the four and the one is five, and that is represented here as a recreation of an authentic conscious alchemy of men and women, .. and that's the fertile void. So you're in the fertile void in my talking. So of course, if you talked in the fertile void, you would be coming out, but you'd be going back in to be a wave and a particle at the same nanosecond, waiting for the creation.
Yeah, I'd like to get y'all's opinion on this, because we talked a little bit about it with Rick, but about this, I feel as if the internet is like the training wheels to demonstrate the possibility of communication through field theory. That when we did this, suddenly we were able to say, wait a minute, we can connect with one another. I can instantly connect around the world and to be there. And so it demonstrated to us that it was possible. Now the next step is actual connecting of the human consciousness in an always on state that we would be evolving in.
Well, if I could just say that what's represented by your circle work and Clay's mandala is the beginning of the architecture of a new evolution. And that we're being taught about the sacred marriage of the circle of a mandala, which I've recommended recently as I began to see this part of him. There needs to be a whole podcast. The four of us need to have him on for about 6 weeks. No breaks and nobody in between. That this is the universal creation story that four of us and Dennis represented. I saw your beauty. Well, I hadn't re-listened to it until I heard we were going to have an amazing opportunity, and I saw your brilliance. You hardly say a word, but it is the laser lightning. So, to me, I think we ought to all be here to serve Clay's mandala and circle work and talk about a sacred marriage, which is what mandala is. And what I heard on your podcast was, oh my God, this is the living system.
Mm. Yeah, it is. And one of the things that has been, I always had that on my epitaph: when I die, I'm going to go with the source of creativity.
Yeah.
and to be in a circle like we are today, to just allow the creativity to flow, to just explore and play with that. And what Pat and I have been able to do with the Goddess Files was to take some of the old goddess archetypes and then say, okay, these are great, these are wonderful. And I got to be Freya because of my Norwegian background, and she's solar and lunar. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, okay, we just created Frey, the granddaughter, Freya, and her parents were warriors, a Viking, of course, the mother. The father was African. And here she comes. She's 11 years old. Her name, she's just going to be, you are the first to, but we are announcing her. So you're the first ones in this fertile vortex of energy. And she has modern clothes and she's tough, you know? And I mean, she's 11 years old. The whole thing of saving Ophelia, remember that whole thing about when girls, and I was the same way. I was a great tomboy. You know, I could outrun, outdo everything with my brother's friends and they were 2 years older. But I would cut back once I got into where we wanted to date, you know. Boys didn't like me beating them at tennis, so I would not always play my very, very best. Well, how stupid is that? I gave that up, but anyway. But still,
you know. How human of you.
Yeah, but it's like what we're doing is allowing people to be fully themselves and not have ever realized that other part of them as being their fullness. And so to give new images language, which is what you're doing, Howard, and concepts, and Clay, the whole work that you're doing with the men in the circle is helping us to co-create something so amazing and very timely. So Pat has this wonderful son, Tony, who is he is a comic artist. He understands comics. He understands. And so what we would do is say, draw Freya, you know, with her characteristics. And that's it.
Uh-huh.
So when it came that I was saying, well, we need the new generation, right? And then you think about, you know, you think about these young girls and young women who are just so powerful today.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Right? Greta. But anyway, so it was like, that's what I did. And I just says, and I said, and she needs to be both races. You know, she needs to be white and black.
Yep.
Because that's the new
too, you know? Oh, that's lovely. Congratulations.
So let me ask a question. Where is this young person going to show up?
In the Goddess Files. In the Goddess Files. That's a comic book series that we're creating.
Okay. The comic book series. Tell us about this now.
Okay. I'll do a little bit, Anne, and you can fill in where I leave off. We started with, actually, we started a while ago, before the Goddess Files emerged, with a webinar series while you were on it, Clay, that we called The Death Throes of the Patriarchy.
Right.
And that was where my son actually did the dinosaur with the, you know, the dying dinosaur. The the patriarchy is the thrashing tail of the dying dinosaur. So we did that. We were, and there's Freya. Yeah, you can see pretty well.
No, that's is that Freya on the dinosaur?
Yeah, that's Freya on the dinosaur. Yeah.
Okay. So we started with the dinosaur,
But the idea that we bring in the qualities of these goddesses that we choose from our heritage, and then these goddesses create an adventure. We go out and we address the burning forests, and we address all the different cultural planetary issues that we're dealing with, but in comic book form as the god with the goddesses as the superheroes. That's what we've been doing.
So I'm so glad, thank you for that, and I'm so glad you showed that image. The first time I saw, and I was going to be on the program, Death Throes of Patriarchy, and this dying dinosaur, I have to confess, I took it personal. And I took it like, oh, so we're going to beat down the men.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case, because I go back to some of the work with the gender reconciliation and recognizing that this patriarchy, the represented by the dinosaur, that both women and men are wounded by it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's,
Absolutely. And Howard, you used a term, and I think the three of you used this term frequently in the podcast I heard, and it was something, it wasn't this, but it was something like the overblown patriarchy or the overblown
inflated solar.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
And that has still the architecture of the over-identification of the ego.
Right.
Solar, and that gap can only be filled by the lunar.
That's right. There you go.
What a wonderful place to leave it right there for this part of the podcast, because that's what we need. That's what we need. Pat, thank you so much. What a lovely opportunity to be with you again, Anne and Howard, and of course our wonderful Clay Boykin. And I'm going to leave y'all to the after party to see what kind of magic that you come up with. And until then, we will see you next time on In Search of the New Compassionate Male.
Unless we begin to change our whole embodiment of the solar, lunar, lunar, solar, nothing is going to change. It won't.
Well, that's what I, and that's why I was, am so excited about the solar, lunar language.
Yeah.
And the solar, lunar degendered.
Because what men are most afraid of is fear. They don't act like it. Terrified. But the healing of the masculine is they're ready to be done by men, and they just need a metaphor in addition to compassion, and that is going to be a thing that we're going to depotentiate it from being queer, because there's no more queer man than me who's been there. And this whole thing is an old era, and the young people just don't have this. And they're the future, and they're the ones that you guys are talking to, and we're going to talk to. So it's like, you know, that's going to go on. But there's a whole new creation story that has never happened consciously. And I have to honor the two of you, because when I've talked about this with other women, and I've talked to some of the major young women, they don't get it. Mm. They're still married to the anonymous, which is shocking to me.
Well, I love you. I love, you know, complimentary. I love that concept.
The complementary
allows us to be our uniqueness and to be complemented. You know, it's like, which is what I love about shared leadership, you know, or I love about a circle conversation, because no one of us has the truth. But together we come up with some amazing new ideas and concepts and a new creation story, which will be fabulous.
So complementarity, that's the key that even Einstein couldn't get. He had a debate for 30 years with the concept of complementarity, because his solar reductionistic mindset of all the people. So this thing that you guys are onto is complementary consciousness. I call the thing I'm doing quantum archetypal dynamics. Quantum archetypal dynamics built on complementarity, which is what the physics is about. So we're talking what all of you have already done, and what we're working on is birthing the birth every single moment, like in the show. This is a complementary experience. There have been so many births here that have happened that wouldn't have happened if any one of us would have been had not been in complementarity, consciously or unconsciously. Have you ever seen Clay's work on mandalas, Clay? Have they ever seen that part of you?
Mm-mm. No.
Well, this is beyond it. This changed my life. Seriously, not very many people have changed my life for a while. And I've been reborn inside of something that's making it easier for me to do what I do. But I come back to complementarity is the key to the quantum world, which is energy with energy with energy with energy. And what you describe is how organic you two are with this. And now you put metaphors on it that have consciousness. That's a new thing, never been done, that anybody's aware of, certainly on this earth. And who knows what happens out there?
All I can say is this is going to be a hard one to edit.
Well, this isn't being recorded.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, I wouldn't have eaten my yogurt if I knew it was being recorded.
Hey, listen to this.